The Memphis-based soul label, High Records, was famous for its recordings by Al Green, Syl Johnson, Ovie Wright, Ann Peebles, and my guest Otis Clay. Clay recorded with High from 1968 to 74. His most popular High recording was Trying to Live My Life Without You. The song was later recorded by Bob Seger. Clay's latest CD, this time around, reunites him with High record producer Willie Mitchell and members of the High Rhythm Section, including drummer Howard Grimes. Clay grew up in Mississippi and has spent most of his adult life in Chicago. He got his start singing gospel music. Before we meet him, let's hear a track from his latest CD, This Time Around.
Please, somebody take your hand and slap some sense in me.
Otis Clay, your new CD reunites you with some of the people you used to work with in Memphis back in your High record days, High as in High Records. What does being with this group bring out in you, do you think?
Well, we're so compatible musically, and we worked together over the years for so long. We work very well together. We genuinely love each other. And it just, and we're all from, although I live in Chicago, I'm from that area down there. So we're just a bunch of homeboys together there and really enjoying the music.
I'd like to hear a little bit about your early days. Would you describe for us where you grew up in Waxhaw in the Mississippi Delta?
Waxhaw's a junction. You know, there's nothing there anymore. It was a general store. And we were farmers, my family. I came from a big family, 10 of us, and I'm the youngest of 10. So it was, you know, church on Sunday, of course, and sometime during the week, and a lot of singing in the family because in my family, being in the church and everything, you had musicians and choir members, and my grandfather was a minister. So you had all these kind of things happening around the house all the time.
And what did your family farm?
Cotton, corn, soybeans, things like that.
Did you work in the fields?
Yeah. Didn't like it, but I did.
Did the family sing in the fields? And if so, what were the songs that you liked to sing then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of things. The thing that's about that is during that time, we had to sing spirituals. We weren't allowed to sing secular music, although I was very familiar with it. I was hearing a lot of it. But we weren't allowed to sing it, especially if our parent was around. We could do it when we were, you know, when we were by ourselves. You know, we could sing all the things that we wanted to, but the parents didn't allow us to sing anything other than gospel music.
So here you are growing up in the Mississippi Delta, which is one of the most important places for the blues, and you're not supposed to be listening to or singing secular music. Did the blues seem to be dangerous to you, to live up to its reputation as the devil's music?
Well, that's what it was. It was, you know, it was the devil's music. You know what I mean? You sing the blues, you're going to go to hell. You know, plus you probably get a whooping along with it.
That's right, more immediately.
Yeah.
Did you have a way of hearing the blues?
Well, yeah. You know, we were listening to WLAC at night and out of Nashville. And you could get all these grand sales that they would have coming out of Ernie's Record Mart and all those places where you could get five songs for, oh, I forget what the price was, but it was very, you know, nothing like today. You know, you get this package deal, you know, this soul special and this gospel special, you know. And we would mail order a lot of that stuff out of Nashville from Ernie Records, yeah.
What if your parents saw it when it came in the mail?
Well, the parents, they knew very well all the things that was happening there, you know. But again, we weren't allowed to sing. blues or secular music, period.
You mean you were allowed to listen but not to sing?
Yeah, we could listen, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because my family, you heard of the old Saturday night fish fry. Well, although my mother, you have to understand, first of all, my mother was very religious, and my father was a gambler. Now, put that together and see what you come up with. But that's the way it was. And most of the time on weekends and things like that, you know, they would have, well, there was quite a bit of bootleg, you know, moonshining going on, too. And at night, on these weekends, they would have this fish fry, and they would have chitlins and all these things, and they would sell, and a lot of people would come around. And that's how you heard the children, you know, we would be at all these gatherings, and we would hear what the grown folks were doing, but we weren't allowed to do it.
Would your father go to church on Sundays and repent on Sunday for the gambling he did during the week?
No. No. He was, most of the time, he was recovering from the night before. No, well, you know, but, yeah, occasionally, you know, he would, just okay, but that's so rare, you know. It was acceptable. It was a known fact that was somewhat to, you know, how the male, you know, they were always doing some things that they should have been repenting for, you know.
If you're just joining us, my guest is soul singer Otis Clay. Now, you toured with several different gospel groups in the 50s and in the 60s. I have one example here of your gospel singing, and it's wonderful, so I thought I would play it. And it's with the Gospel Songbirds. This was recorded in 1963.
Oh, wow.
And the song is If I Could Hear My Mother. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about this group, the Gospel Songbirds.
The sad part is, you know, with that CD, most of them have passed on now, and it really saddens me when I listen to that, because we had a great time together. You know, these groups are like family, brothers, you know what I mean, extension of the family, and we really, truly loved each other, and I was with that group for quite a few years. That was the last local group that I sang with before I went with the Sensational Nightingales, the Gospel Songbirds. We were quite a group. If you can, when you listen, I have that CD, and when I listen to it, I say, hey, we were pretty good.
Yes. I agree. So let's hear it. This is you singing lead, If I Could Hear My Mother.
I believe I'll testify, Lord have mercy, while I have a chance. The reason why I like to leave my testimony with you, I may not ever see you, but before I go, I like to sing my favorite song, and it goes something like this. How sweet has it been, Lord, the day of which I dream, Lord, have mercy, I can hear the memory calling every now and then.
That was Otis Clay singing lead, recorded, I believe, in about 1963, The Gospel Songbirds. Otis Clay is now best known as a soul singer. You're living in Chicago and have lived there for many years. How did you get from Mississippi to Chicago? Why did you decide to move?
I really didn't. It was a family thing. And I always say Chicago is a suburb of Mississippi. Everybody leave Mississippi and come to Chicago. And that was that great migration that was during that time. But my family didn't really move to Chicago when we first left the South. We moved to a little town or city in Indiana called Muncie, Indiana. I lived there, and I was very young. My mother died while we lived there, and I came and stayed in Chicago briefly with an uncle. And my maternal grandfather also lived here. And I didn't stay long. I went back to Mississippi, and I lived with an older sister of mine for about a year and a half or so. And then I came back to Chicago to live with my uncle. And that was around, that was about 1956.
What was it like for you to live in the big city after growing up in, you know, a small rural part of the Mississippi Delta?
It was exciting, of course. But again, you were always close to friends that you knew from the South. You know, so that kept it, you know, that made it a bit more comfortable. You know, you needed that type of thing when you're in the big city. You know, to be in a big city, a stranger, and no friends, I mean, I would think that would be unbearable.
My guest is soul singer Otis Clay. His latest CD is called This Time Around. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is soul singer Otis Clay. His latest CD is called This Time Around. How did your life change when you started singing soul music and moved away from gospel?
Well, I never really quite moved away from gospel, because I have a gospel album right now that's been around for quite some time, and it's a very popular album.
So you're doing both?
Yeah, I still do a lot of gospel concerts. Get with all my old friends that's still in the gospel field, and we tour sometime. And so it really didn't change an awful lot, because I still have the same friends, and we get together as much as possible.
Now, I believe when you first started to record secular music, you cut a few singles for Columbia Records, but those singles weren't released. And when they weren't released, my understanding is that you hid them from your friends who sang gospel music because you didn't want them to know. Why not?
Well, we come back to that decision again. You know, I had my little popularity as a gospel singer, you know, and you had enough people talking. So that was one time I didn't brag about it, you know. And I'm really glad that I didn't, because it was never released. And that would have really gave them something to talk about, you know. I just kept it a secret.
Would they have been angry at you, or feel that you couldn't sing with them anymore if they knew about those records?
Oh, of course. You know, they at that time, it wouldn't have been acceptable. You know, now people are a bit more broad-minded, but at that time, no, I wouldn't have been able to remain in the group after, if especially once they had released the secular.
What do you think is your greatest record? Do you have any?
Oh, well, you know, we were talking about that. Someone asked me that question, and that was a record that I recorded, and I've recorded it several times. It was called If I Could Reach Out and Help Somebody. I recorded it first for High in 1973, and then I recorded it on the first Live Japan album. And then it's also on the gospel album, too. So there's about three versions of it out there.
Why don't we hear the first version of it, the High Records version of it? And before we play it, I'd like to know what it is about this song that gets you to single it out as being the best.
Well, the song, the spiritual side of it, the charitable side of it, and I genuinely feel that way. You always want to make a difference in this world. If there's something that you can do, something you can help someone along the way, we try to do as much charity as possible, you know, because we realize that we're blessed. And we like to pass that on. I think that's our duty. We are our brother's keeper.
Okay, well, this is If I Could Reach Out, sung by Otis Clay. From the 70s. Otis Clay, recorded in the mid-70s, back in his days with the High record label. And he's reunited with some of those people from High Records on his new CD, This Time Around. You grew up singing with your family. You have, I think, 8 children of your own.
Yes.
Did you all sing together when the kids were young?
Well, they sing in church. They pretty much took, they've taken pretty much the same road that I took, although none of them are singing professionally.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Hope, she decided one New Year's Eve that she was going to sing with me, and she said, "I want to sing." I said, "Okay." That was her debut, and that was the last time she walked on stage. that's everybody's in church, pretty much the same thing.
Otis Clay, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Otis Clay's latest CD, This Time Around, is on the label Bullseye Blues and Jazz.